Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm often asked, well, sometimes asked, well, somebody asked me once, how do I write my sermons? Or perhaps it was, why do you write your sermons? Anyway, here's a glimpse into how I wrote this one. The week started with me sitting down and reading through this morning's readings. And they seemed like jolly good practical advice for anybody that goes to a dinner party as a guest, especially if there are no name places or seating plan. So I thought, at last, some scripture that we can readily understand and apply to our lives. But wait a minute, I wasn't so sure about Jesus' advice to hosts. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends. Don't invite those who are going to invite you back and repay you. Instead, he says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Those who can never, ever pay you back. Well, I put the Bible down and went and did something else. I read that nearly 60 years ago now, Martin Luther King stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and gave his famous I Have a Dream speech. You remember the one. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Well, 60 years on, I thought to myself, how far has America, or indeed the UK, come in achieving equality and harmony in our societies? Later, I went back and had another look at that gospel passage. This time, I noticed that Jesus' good advice to hosts is actually a parable. So there's something more to it than simply dinner parties. There's a deeper significance. On Wednesday, as I mused about this parable again, I remembered something that was said at a growing leaders' course, which we used to run over in the parish rooms. Oh, over there. I think this came from Chris Warren, bless him, talking about the importance of welcome in church. He said leaders should have as their priority helping everyone in the congregation to feel not a guest, but a host. All of us should feel welcoming and generous to others, making them feel at home and accepted. Turning us all from guests to hosts. I really like that. So I sat down and roughed out my sermon. It was pretty good. But then I turned on the television and I saw news of the fatal shooting of 9-year-old Olivia. And the Liverpool police urging the community to assist in finding the guilty and removing the curse of gun violence from the city. They said, any scrap of information, however small, could be vital. Turning back to my sermon, I thought, you know, so often we are faced with a challenge that seems daunting, that needs more courage than we think we've got and can seem beyond us. What can little old me do? What difference can I make? How can God use me? Well, then, for some reason, I thought of one of the strangest stories in the Bible. Balaam's talking donkey. Do you know that story? Balaam is on his donkey, and he's riding off on a mission to curse Israel. But the donkey stops dead in its tracks when it sees ahead of it an angel with a sword in its hand, ready to strike Balaam if he goes any further. Now, Balaam can't see the angel. The donkey can. So Balaam gets off his donkey and he starts to beat it to try to get it to move. He beat it very, very thoroughly. But then God opens the mouth of the donkey to speak to Balaam and to make him come to his senses, which he does. He sees the angel and he stops beating the donkey and he has a change of heart. Now, that donkey's courage ensured that Balaam's life was saved. It also ensured that God's people were blessed and not cursed. So on Friday morning, I sat down and wrote my sermon, a 3-point sermon. Here it is. Firstly, if we push ourselves forward, claiming a top place at God's table, we expose a very unattractive side of our character. That's bad enough, but it reveals a real ignorance in the world to come. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us deserves a place at God's table. None of us can claim anything at all. We're 100% dependent on God's grace, and we can never pay him back. So the parable reminds us of the topsy-turvy world of the kingdom of God. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We can claim nothing for ourselves. It's all God's grace. Secondly, Jesus here is asking us to offer hospitality without strings. Now, that's whether or not we're inviting people to a dinner party, or we're simply being hospitable people, hospitable in church. I think he wants to move us from being guests to hosts, to work for a different kind of society based on grace, not on perceived merit or class or privilege. Somewhere where everyone is equally valued and welcomed. That's the kind of society Martin Luther King was dreaming of. And if we let that message ring out from the heights of Stewart's End to the hills of Saffron Walden and the plains of Little Walden, then we're going to be a blessing to our communities and to our society. And thirdly and finally, in case we should feel insignificant in that task, that we've got nothing to contribute and that we lack the courage to join in, well, just remember Balaam's donkey. God opened the mouth of a dumb animal to save lives and to bring blessing. He can jolly well do the same with you and me to bring about his own purposes. Amen.